morning. Whoa, sorry guys. I didn't touch anything. Good morning. We're glad you're joining us. We begin a new series this morning on identity. But before we jump into that, please don't forget the lessons that God has taught us and what we were spoken to about in reference to one anothering. If all you do is remember the fact that one anothering is how I treat others, you'll be progressing and growing and becoming the individual, the Christian that God wants you to be. So that's my last plug for one anothering for a while. Last Sunday, I spoke to you, I said, almost every message in this series will either be connected to or come directly out of Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. And I said, I wanted to say maybe I didn't need to go back and listen to the message this week, but read that passage once, twice, three times a week while we're in this series. Except if you did that, you're not prepared for this morning because we're going to do something else this morning. But we are going to actually begin this morning at the beginning, the book of beginnings, which is the book of Genesis. We're going to be in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26 through 28. We're also going to look at a few verses in chapter 2 of Genesis. So Genesis 1, if you need the chair Bible, is on page 1. It's really easy. It's right in the front. We're also going to look at a section of Isaiah chapter 40, and if you want that in the chair Bible, it's page 459. So we're going to do something this morning that I have not ever done here. I've done it with smaller groups. I've done it with teenagers, but we're going to do audience participation. So you need to be participating and thinking about something, and I want to hear your answer, but I'm not going to ask the question yet. So we're actually, what we're going to do is we're going to be using, the guys in the back have had this for a year and they've been begging me to use it. So this is actually a microphone and you can actually toss it. Guys, teens, young adults, if you toss it, think about who you're tossing it to. It might be better to hand it, but you can't hurt the microphone. You may hurt the person, so be aware of that. So here's what we're going to do. You have met someone, okay? You've met someone for the first time. And they want to know who you are. But you've introduced yourself, and you've given your name, they've given theirs, so you know their name. And instead of just saying, the person says, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. They ask the question this way. Who are you? Who are you? And what I want you to do is answer the question in a statement. I am blank. A word, two words, a sentence at most. I don't want your life story, no offense, but I want it brief so that someone else has a chance to share. And we're going to spend, the guys are going to put up a timer for 5 minutes. So if you guys can fill that, there's at least enough people here to do that. I kind of prompted my lovely family. They're going to start, at least one of them is, probably whichever one gets told to. But they're going to start. So guys, put the timer up. And you want me to throw it? All right, there we go. All right, so. Joy, I am.
I am a college student.
Okay.
I am Joel and Joy's mom.
Okay, so you don't have to share, but if you want to share and you're behind my family or in the annex, just raise your hand. Oh, Aurora wants to go.
I am an entrepreneur.
Whoa, big word. So, Mrs. Wallenbeck.
I am the other grandmother.
You don't have to go. Just look around you. If someone raises their hand, pass it on.
I am a creative person.
I am? Good job.
I am a soccer player.
I'm a mother of five.
So, anybody, if you want it, raise your hand so it gets to you. Miss Leah right back there would like it.
I am a good at memorizing verses.
A good at memorizing person. Excellent. All right. So come back to, if there's no one else in the annex, go across the row back into the sanctuary. Nice catch, Ethan.
I'm good at catching.
Which one?
I'm a child of God.
Okay.
You stole mine.
Oh. She copied me.
I'm a mother of three.
I am a nature lover and a bird nerd.
A nature lover and a bird nerd. So go to the other side.
I am a mother.
Okay. Oh, good catch, Miss Gooker.
I am a former teacher.
I am a quilter.
I knew at least one lady would say quilter. I was expecting that. All right, anybody else?
You want me to talk to? I am a Nina to 6 grandchildren.
A Nina?
I am a handful.
I'm an old lady.
Oh. I'm an old man.
I wasn't expecting those answers.
I'm a good artist.
Okay.
I'm a horse lover.
I am made in the image of God.
I am a junior Olympian.
A junior Olympian.
I am a wife and mother.
I'm a recovering sinner.
Okay. So.
I'm an artist.
A couple more on this side, Zach. Oh, good catch.
I'm an older sister and a younger sister.
Okay. All right.
I am a 63-year Newfield resident.
Ooh. So,
I'm retired, so I'm a has-been.
So, young Mr. Trent there in the front row.
Ready?
I am a card game master.
A card game master. All right. Anybody that didn't get to go, because we won't use the whole 5 minutes. Oh, way back, Evie. Oh, good catch.
I am a girl.
All right, last chance. Anybody else that didn't get to go? Oh.
I'm a hunter.
I'm a hunter, all right.
I am her husband.
Excellent. Anybody else? All right, Ethan, if you would take that back to the guys in the back when you get a chance. All right, excellent. You can drop the timer mic. Thank you for your participation. I want to point out that there are other things that you could have said. You could have talked about, I am a business owner, I am a mechanic, I am a musician. A lot of you talked about being parents or grandparents. Some of you said you have a spouse. Some of you could have said, I'm single, I'm divorced, I'm separated. We could have talked about the fact that maybe you're an alcoholic or were, you're an addict, you're lonely, you're anxious, you're fearful, you're struggling. You could see yourself as a failure. You could see yourself as smart and educated or not so smart. I don't know if I can say dumb, but you could have talked about your ethnicity, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. You could have talked about your sexuality, heterosexual, homosexual. You could have said, I am non-binary, I am fluid, I am transgendered, I am transitioning. The reality is that these definitions will change. What Trent and Evie and the younger kids answered, when they get out of high school and into college, their answer would have changed. When you get out of high school and into college and then get out of college and married, your answer changes. When you have grandchildren, your answer changes. When you get a new job or you start a new career, your answer changes. But there's only one problem with I am blank. We almost exclusively give answers that are not only inaccurate, they're actually wrong. Because what you described is what describes you, not what defines you. We tend to answer the question, who am I, in terms of some subjective experience or a particularly formative or emotional experience. We base them on our experience. Here's what the reality is. We think I am defines us, but it does not. It explains us and it describes us. It does not define us. Now, some of you did go to where, or close to what I'm going to go to this morning, but how do we answer the question, how do we define rather than simply describe us? For that, we need to ask a different question. Not who am I, but who does God say I am? That's where we want to start. And to answer that question, we need to look in God's word. God has given us his word to explain not only who he is, but help us understand who we are. So with that in mind, join me in Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 26 through 28. This is at the end of the creation account. In verse 26, God says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So where are we going to start in our identity series? We're going to ask the question, who does God say I am? God says, I am created. I am created. That's where we're going to start. In the book of beginnings, God says, I am created. So let's pause and pray before we jump into and dig it into the idea of what it means to be created. Father, we thank you for the uplifting time of worship, the praise that we were able to offer to your name. Lord, as Brian mentioned this morning, we don't want to forget what happened 21 years ago today. We know that that was not what we would want, but it was part of your plan, although we don't understand it. Lord, we thank you for those who risked their lives to save others that day and do that every day. Lord, as we think about identity this morning, we are bombarded from things we read, things we hear, things we watch, overtly, covertly, in our face, subliminally, with messages about who we are, or who we think we should be, or who someone else thinks we should be. Lord, as we dig into your word this morning and into this series, may we reevaluate how we define and describe ourselves. May we do it in light of who you say we are, what Scripture says about us. May we not just do it in theory or in answer to a question, but may that definition, that description in your word impact us to our core. May it shape us and change us because we view ourselves in light of how you define us, not anyone else, not even ourselves. Lord, reveal this morning where we have the wrong definition, the wrong perspective on ourselves. Change that. Confront us with the truth and recognize we are created by you, by an amazing God, and what that means for every moment of every day, how I live, and how I view myself. We thank you and praise you for joining us this morning. We thank you for what you're going to do with your word this morning. We ask this all in your name. Amen. So I am created. And we're going to look at four realities that come from the fact that I am created. The first one is that I am a creature. I am a creature. Genesis 1, 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." I did not evolve. I did not arrive on this world by chance. I did not cause myself to exist. Recognize the fact that I did not and cannot cause anything to exist. If I can't cause anything else to exist, I certainly cannot cause myself to exist. Therefore, if I am a creature, I am created. Someone greater than I am caused my existence. Someone more important, more powerful, more amazing, and more awesome than I am. That is who caused me to exist, not myself, not by chance. How do I know that? How can I say that? Well, we just looked at Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." I didn't want to obscure the picture because the picture causes us to think about the fact that, look at what I see, all these stars, all these galaxies, all these planets, the Milky Way. I can't make anything, let alone make that, but someone did. Look at what God created. I didn't, I can't. He can, and He created me. I have been created by one who is greater than I am. I have been created by one who is greater than I am. So you might want to think, well, not only how did He create me, but why did He create me? We're going to talk about both. He created us. We are purposefully and personally created by God Himself. Okay, Pastor Brian, that's just Adam and Eve, okay? God did something special with them, and then everybody else, including me, was created by parents. You know, procreation, the S word. They had sexual relations. My mom got pregnant, and here I am. That might be how you were created, but that's not who created you. Psalms 1 and 39, the psalmist is very clear. For you, talking about God, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. This is not Adam and Eve writing this psalm. This is someone who lived thousands of years after them saying, God created me. He created me, not my parents, not procreation. That was the how. The who was God. God, speaking to Jeremiah, says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God is telling Jeremiah, before you were conceived, I had plans for you. I knew you. I'm the one that caused you. Now, He gave Jeremiah a specific job of being a prophet. That's not what He gives us, but we are formed and created the same way. God created me. Someone greater than I created me. And because I am a creature, because I am created, here are some realities. I am dependent on God for food. Psalm 145, the psalmist says, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. All right, God may feed the fish, Pastor Brian, He may feed the animals, even the plants. I get my own food, okay? I plant my garden, I till it, I put manure, I put fertilizer, I care for it, and then I harvest it. I freeze, I can, I raise my own meat, I butcher it. Or maybe I buy it and put it in the freezer. Or some of you are going to say, I don't do any of that. I go down to Wegmans and I buy my food. I buy it, not God. God warns the Israelites about that line of thinking in Deuteronomy. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. Where do we get money? Where do we get the ability, the knowledge, the skill to earn money? It's from God. Where do we get the ability to plant, to harvest, to freeze, to can? It is not from us. We were created. We are a creature. Everything we have comes from God, the Creator. It is all from God. As a creature, I am dependent on God for my food and for my day and for my plans. Proverbs warns us, don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. He says, you have plans for tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. James builds on that truth, and he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. And he continues, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Planning, preparing days, weeks, months, years in advance is good, but recognize that God controls the plans. I am dependent on Him. I am dependent on God for my very life. James talks about our life as a vapor. It appears and then is gone. Paul says, He, God, gives to all life, breath, and all things. As a creature, I am not only dependent on God for food, for my day, for my plans, for my life, I am dependent on God for everything. Paul says, and what do you have that you do not receive? If you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? Paul says, everything you have comes from God. You don't have a reason to boast. My food, my ability, my strength, my money, my life, my breath, my day, my plans, everything I am dependent on God for. What's the takeaway? What's the reality? There is a creator. He is God, and I am not him. There is a creator. He is God, and I am not him. That's what it means to be a creature. There is someone higher than I. It is God. What else does it mean that I am created? I am a uniquely created creature. Not just a created creature. I am a uniquely created creature. The creation account of human beings is unique in several ways. First, we are given a glimpse into God's thinking. What he's thinking as and just before he creates human beings. He doesn't do that in any other context. Verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis. Let us make man in our image. He speaks. He lets people know what he's thinking. He doesn't do that with any other part of creation. Second, the creation account of man is the longest creation account in Genesis 1. And it's expanded in Genesis 2. It comes at the end of Genesis chapter 1. Meaning, if you start in the beginning, it's something like light, darkness, water. And then it gets more complex. There's planets. Then there's plants, animals. Things get more complex, climaxing in the creation of us, of human beings. Fourth, the pattern God uses in creating human beings changes from everything else that happens in Genesis chapter 1. Here's what I mean by pattern. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to go back up and look at a couple of verses. Verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit that yields, or the tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is on the earth. So it's pattern after its kind. He does that again in verse 21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abound according to their kind. Verse 25, just before our account this morning, God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. But when we get to man, let us make man in our image, not according to its kind, according to a different kind. Plants, fish, birds, animals, we're all created after its kind. We are created from a different pattern, God's pattern. I am uniquely created. I'm a uniquely created creature, different from any other creature and from every other creature. I am not simply a higher mammal. I am not simply a glorified primate. I am not someone, a highly intelligent ape or monkey. I'm not simply an animal that has gained sentience, self-awareness. I am different because of the pattern I was created after. The uniqueness of our creation doesn't end there. Yes, God followed a different pattern, but he also created us in a way that's different from any other creature. I am a unique creature created in God's image. And we've seen that already. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. So let's consider what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. First, let's go all the way back to Genesis 1:1 and think about who created us. Because that's whose image we are created in. The first words in the book of beginnings, in the book of Genesis, is in the beginning, God. Meaning, there is nothing else. It's just God. God is there. He exists. He has always existed. He will always exist. Then he goes and says, let there be, and it was. This is whose image we are created in. In the beginning, God spoke, and something that has never existed existed. And there was nothing that God used to create it. He created things out of nothing. Now, let's consider what God says about himself in that section of Isaiah 40. I warned you where we're going to go to. So Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to read a few of the verses. You can turn there, or you can just listen, of how God describes himself. We're going to start in verse 12. There's a significant number of questions that God asks in this section of Scripture about himself. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor had taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Verse 15, behold, the nations are a drop in the bucket, are counted as small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up isles as a very little thing. Drop down to verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare him to? Verse 21 through 23. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, it is God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Drop down to verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number, talking about the stars and the planets. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and by the strength of his power, no, not one are missing. So the rhetorical question, who will you liken me to? Or who am I like? This has one and only one possible answer. A resounding, unequivocal, no one. God is so different, he can't be compared with anyone or anything. That is whose image we are created in. God is so different that he cannot be compared with anyone or anything. We are patterned after him, the one who cannot be compared with anyone. The incomparable God, to put it another way. This is whose image and likeness we are created in. So let's think about this is who. What does it mean, image and likeness? This is what we're created as, image and likeness of God. So think about the terms from Genesis chapter 1. Now, don't miss the fact that God speaks out loud during this part of creation and says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. But no one's there to hear him. The fish and the birds, maybe they hear him, but they don't understand. He says this for our future benefit. Image, you could put a synonym in there, statue, idol, figurine. It describes something that has a physical appearance. Understand, God is invisible. We are the visible representation of God. That's what image has to do with. Likeness, shape, pattern, resemblance. In many of the visions, especially in the book of Ezekiel, he describes what he sees and says, it is like this. Because he doesn't know what he's seeing, but it's related to something he already knows. That's the picture. We aren't God, but we are like him. What does it mean? What does it involve that we are in the image and likeness of God? It takes the entirety of the book, of the every book of the Bible to do that. Genesis 1 through Revelation 21. And we cannot cover that all this morning, even in an entire series. It wouldn't be possible. But we're going to address a few things that we can learn from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 about understanding I am made in the image and likeness of God. I am created in the image and likeness of God because of my gender. Look at verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Regardless of your gender, you are made in the image of God. I cannot explain to you how two images represent one being. We don't completely understand it. God says it's a fact. I'm not more like God because I'm a man, or I'm not less like God because I'm a man. Each gender represents God equally. This fact is not simply mentioned in this passage, okay? I wanted to talk about some structure here. There's three specific phrases in this verse. As we go down, it gets more intense, more focused, more specific to reinforce the fact that it's not just one gender. So God created man in his image. There's the statement. He reinforces it. In the image of God, he created him. Reinforces it again and says, male and female, he created them. Each line reinforces we are made in the image of God, ending with the fact that it is both genders. I am created in the image of God regardless of my gender. I am made in the image of God because part of me is eternal. That comes in the expanded account in Genesis 2. Genesis 2, 7 specifically. So you can flip over one page or listen as I read. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. That word being, translated being in the New King James, is actually soul. The man became a living soul. Part of being created in God's image means there is part of me that is eternal. Unlike any other creature, this is only specified of God's image bearers. I'm sorry if you think your pet's going to heaven. Scripture does not support that. They may be there, but I can't definitively say that. We have an eternal part. We have a soul. We are eternal because God is eternal. That is part of being made in his image and likeness. I am made in God's image and likeness because I am intelligent. Look at verses 15 through 17 of chapter 2 of Genesis. Then God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God speaks to the man using words, language, sentences. And there's no indication that the man doesn't understand. He grasps what God is saying. A dog, a cat, an elephant would not. The man is intelligent. He communicates. God communicates. He understands. But then drop down to verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. So not only does Adam listen and hear, he can speak, he can name, he can be creative. He is intelligent. We think, we communicate, we learn. We are intelligent. It is because we are made in the image of God. In the context of what we just read, God has given Adam specific responsibilities. That is part of being made in the image of God. God gave Adam rules. Tend the garden. Don't eat of this tree. Name the animals. And the picture is Adam did, up until Genesis 3, what he was supposed to do. Notice Adam worked. Work is not part of the curse. Work is not a result of sin. God planned work as part of our responsibility because he works. God works to sustain the universe, to fulfill his plan, to hold the planets and all things together. The hardness of work, the futility of work, the struggle of work became worse because of sin, but work is not a punishment. And notice that there are consequences to our responsibilities. If I choose to ignore God's instructions and disobey, there will be consequences. If you eat of the tree, you're going to die. Genesis chapter 3, God follows through on his consequences. Well, that's just for Adam, Pastor Brian. That's just for Adam and Eve. I wasn't given those instructions. No, you have a whole lot more. You have a whole Bible full of them. And God says in Romans, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're accountable for our responsibilities. I am made in the image and likeness of God because I need others. The creation account informs us of something interesting in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Plural pronouns. Now, this doesn't mean we understand from Genesis 1:26 there's a Trinity. That doesn't come until the end of the Bible and understanding all that God says. But there is something different when God is referring to himself, when no one's there to listen, with plural pronouns. There's something different. He is in relationship. He is in community with himself. And in Genesis chapter 2, here's what he says in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. This is the first time in creation God has said it anything other than good or very good. And it's because there is no community for Adam. And then he brings all the animals to help Adam, because he's intelligent, understand there is a problem. You are alone. And then he creates a woman, a helpmeet for him. But the community doesn't end there. Yes, there's community between man and wife, but the relationship reality is there will be more. They're supposed to procreate. There will be more in community. It is not good for man to be alone. God knew this. He wanted man to recognize this. A dog may be man's best friend, but you cannot have community with a dog. They're wonderful creatures. You cannot have community with a cat. You need other people. We are not designed to live life alone. You and I are created in the image of God. All of us, all of me, all of you, not just part of me, not just part of you, bear the image and likeness of God, the incomparable God. It's not just my physical part. It's just not my intellectual part, my spiritual, my emotional, my relational part. It's all of that and more. All of me is made in the image and likeness of God, the incomparable God. I am created. I am a unique creature given a unique purpose. As we read through Genesis 1, each animal, each bird, each fish has been given the same command that we are given in Genesis 1:28. Then God said, be fruitful and multiply. And they are made after their kind. And then we are told, fill the earth. But we're not filling the earth after our kind. We are given the same command, but we are filling the earth with ourselves, with the visible representation of the invisible God. So when we fill the earth, we are filling the earth with the image of God. We are filling the earth with the image of who Scripture reveals to us. We are to fill it this way. We are to fill it with reflections of God. I am to be the reflection, the image and likeness of the invisible, incomparable God. That is my responsibility, to be the visible representation, the reflection of the invisible, incomparable God. That is the unique purpose that I have been given as a human being that no other creature has been given. Identity. I am created. Now, usually I give you a whole bunch of applications and I save them till the end. How should this reality, I am created in the image of God, the visible representation of him, the fact that I am created, that Scripture elsewhere says I am fearfully and wonderfully made, means I have value. I have value to God, great value. This should impact how I view myself. This should impact how I think about myself. My self-worth is not determined by anything other than the fact that I am created in the image of God. God chose to create me. Just as I am, the gender I am, how tall I am, how short I am, my eye color, my hair color, my complexion, the amount of hair I do or not, don't have, the talents and skills he has given me, the ones that he didn't give me. When I look at myself, I am not to think, I don't like this. I don't like the way my ears look. I don't like the way my eyebrows look. I don't like the fact that someone has more hair than me. I don't like the fact that my eye color is this, or that I'm this tall, or not this tall. What we're saying is, God, you made a mistake. I should be taller. I should have more hair. I should be a different gender. I would have more value if you made me the way I think I should be made. What explains me or describes me does not define me. God does. Only God does. Not my friends, not my family, not my coach, not my teacher, not my boss, not my society, not my culture, not my friend, my neighbors. God. Only God defines me. When I look in the mirror and evaluate what I see, I need to remember I am made in God's image. He, the incomparable God, purposefully and personally created me just the way I am. There's no mistake. I am someone he uniquely created in his image, in his likeness. I am a reflection of him, a visible representation of the incomparable God. That is who I am. We began this morning asking you to fill in the blank. I am. Not all of you answered. Most of you did. Some of you didn't. That's fine. Think about the answer you either gave or would give if you were willing to. How is your answer different after seeing what God says about you? How is your answer changed? How would you fill it in now? I am blank. I am created purposely and personally by God in his image. I am a reflection of him. And that makes a difference in how I view myself, an extraordinary life-changing difference in how I view myself and how I view others. Who does God say I am? God says you are created in his image. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for the reminder that it wasn't by chance, it wasn't by accident. You were involved in creating each one of us exactly the way we are. That though we are different from anyone else, we all are reflections of you. Lord, help this truth to impact us down to our core. Help us to reshape our perspective on ourselves. Help us to replace what others may have said about us, what culture may say about us, with what you say about us. That we have been personally and purposefully created by you as a reflection of you. That we are the image and likeness of the incomparable God, and that is a life-changing truth. Help it to settle and stay firmly planted in our thinking and in our hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.